Pleasure to welcome Republican U.S. Senator Rand Paul of the great state of Kentucky to America's Radio News. Sir, welcome.
Good morning. Glad to be with you.
Good morning to you. We have so much to cover and so little time to do it. We'll start off with, of course, the biggest news being made in your body yesterday in the Senate. Dick Durbin, the senator from Illinois, one of your colleagues, making some news as he openly mocked the head of the NRA for this belief that the Second Amendment is there to thwart government power over the people or tyranny over the people. Mr. Durbin may have a lack of understanding of history, but finds himself on opposite ends of one of the founding fathers, George Washington, who said this: a free people ought not only to be armed and disciplined, but they should have sufficient arms and ammunition to maintain a status of independence from any who might attempt to abuse them, which would include their own government. Is Mr. Durbin on the wrong side of history here, sir?
Absolutely. And not only does he fail to see that it was instituted, you know, among a people who were rebelling against their mother country, but also there have been foreign leaders who have mentioned this. When the Japanese attacked us in 1941, one of their admirals said one of the reasons why they would never invade the body or the continental U.S. is because there were guns behind every blade of grass, because we were well armed. So it's not only domestic tyranny, but it's foreign invasion as well.
All right, let's turn to the other story that made a lot of headlines in the past week. Of course, that would be what some are calling an eyebrow-raising moment in the Benghazi hearings. Not only a lot of folks thought it was very gutsy to take on Secretary of State Hillary Clinton sharply like you did, and saying hypothetically as president, this is something not always heard, that you said, you know, if I were president, I would have relieved you of your duties. And then we hear shortly after the grilling, you actually sent out a video clip with the questioning saying, had I been president, I would have relieved her of her duties. So it begs the question everybody's asking. It's an inescapable conclusion. Maybe you're eyeing a run for the White House in 2016. Is that the case? Are you thinking about it?
Well, you know, the thought has crossed our mind, and we won't make any decision for about 2 years. But really, that isn't what I was concerned with in that hearing. What I'm concerned in that hearing is that our ambassador died and three other brave men died, and really someone needs to be held accountable. And when you make mistakes of this grand a nature, when you're in charge of security for a country and you don't read the security cables, you don't read the pleas for help, and you don't send help, that's inexcusable, and I think it disqualifies you from holding that position. So I was very serious about Secretary Clinton. I really think that these errors of judgment disqualify her from being in such a position again. And this was repeated requests for security. I'm talking about for 6 months, 8 months in advance of these attacks, they were pleading for help, and the State Department was turning them down. For her to say, oh, well, I get millions of cables, sure she does, but I don't think the cables coming from Bulgaria have the same importance as the cables coming from Libya. So I think it was inexcusable, the decision she made. And ultimately, I don't think she still gets it. I really think the embassy in Libya should be under the direct Department of Defense and military control for security, because I think it's just too dangerous for the State Department to be able to do it.
Well, there's no mistaking there's been an undercurrent of politics in this whole situation. And Hillary Clinton herself pretty much, when you were giving her that line of questioning, hinting that she felt that the questioning in itself was just getting political. And that's why she put this into the hands of the Accountability Review Board to take it out of the heat of politics and partisanship. What do you say to that?
Well, they came up with 64 suggestions, all common sense, all of which should have been done by any reasonable leader in advance of these attacks. So they show her failure of leadership. But the review board did miss one thing. The review board did not discuss whether or not the military ought to be in charge of the diplomatic mission in war-torn countries. I personally think that they still don't understand that the Libya or the embassy in Libya is different than the embassy in Paris. They keep telling me, oh, well, the Marines are there to guard the paper. Well, I know what Marines are capable of doing, and I don't think the Marines should be there just to guard paper, and there really weren't any Marines there in Benghazi or Tripoli. So I don't think that there was good leadership here. I don't think they thought this through, and there were specific requests for security, specific requests for help, and they turned them down.
All right. Our guest right now is U.S. Senator Rand Paul from Kentucky. Senator, I want to get back onto the gun debate. here in the country, because Dianne Feinstein, one of your colleagues, a Democrat, has put forth her ideas on gun bans. The president has come out with his ideas. These individuals want us to believe that the same government who can't stop millions of illegals coming across the border, tons of drugs coming across that border, will be able to stop illegal arms from ending up into the criminal element in this country. If a gun ban does go through, sir, won't that leave law-abiding citizens who will comply at the mercy of criminals who won't follow the law?
Well, people like Senator Feinstein, who are for gun control, fundamentally misunderstand criminals. Criminals don't care about the law. These mass shooters and killers, there we have laws against murder. In fact, we'll put you to death if we catch you, if you don't kill yourself first. But they don't care about the laws against murder, so they're going to care about laws for gun control. These guns were registered. They were stolen. Like 86% of all guns used in crimes, they're stolen or bought on the black market. All gun control will do will make it 100% of weapons could be bought on the black market, but won't get rid of crime. But it'll make guns more expensive and more difficult to get for those who want to protect themselves, hunt, or use them for sport. So, if she doesn't care about poor people being able to defend themselves, that's what gun control does.
Let's talk about the efficacy of the party you belong to, of the GOP. Mainstream press, even some of the right-leaning press, and definitely the left-leaning press, basically branding the GOP is inept and unable to stand up against President Obama and his Democrats that control the Senate. A lot of folks questioning whether or not the GOP having the House makes any difference at all, because they're largely ineffectual. What say you?
Well, you know, I wasn't real pleased to see them already give in on the debt ceiling and raise the debt ceiling. They raised it in exchange for a budget. Well, it's already the law that the Democrats are supposed to have a budget, so I don't know that we get any great thing by having the Democrats pass a budget that raises taxes, raises spending, and continues to add to the deficit. Last year, I said I would raise the debt ceiling in exchange for a balanced budget amendment to the Constitution, but that's a significantly higher bar than saying, oh, I'll trade raising the debt ceiling for any old budget. So I disagree with the strategy. I think it'll come to nothing. And if we don't stand up for something, I'm afraid we're going to bankrupt the country. We're borrowing $4 billion a day, and it can't go on forever.
He is the author of this book, Government Bullies, How Everyday Americans Are Being Harassed, Abused, and Imprisoned by the Feds. Sitting U.S. Senator Rand Paul of the great state of Kentucky. Sir, thank you for carving out time for us today here on America's Radio News.
Thanks, guys.